This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Has this ever happened to you? You're at a party, let's say in New York, and someone says, "So, where are you from?" And you answer, "Michigan," or any one of the Midwest states. What happens? Well, they may look at you as if you wandered in from another planet, the planet Midwest. They might even wonder aloud if you have plumbing. That actually happened to writer Mike Draper, who is from Iowa, and he got so tired of realizing that to many Americans, the Midwest might as well be a foreign country. So he planted his tongue fairly firmly in his cheek and turned out a book called The Midwest, God's Gift to Planet Earth, an illustrated guide to the history and culture of the galaxy's most important region. Mike, not too modestly titled, may I note?
It's a fair and balanced look at our region.
I want to open with your thoughts. It's one of my favorite quotes from your book, and here is your thought. The Midwest is a mystery wrapped in a riddle and then deep fat fried at the Iowa State Fair and served on a stick. Why do you think we're such a mystery to the rest of the nation?
I think part of it is that nobody really knows where it is. And then the other part is that nobody really cares what goes on here. So it's kind of a mystery, not that we aim to be a mystery, but a mystery because most people aren't all that curious about what is here.
Well, that term flyover country is so dismissive and arrogant, and I've always hated that, but that's the way they look at us, isn't it?
Yeah, which is funny because we invented the plane, so it'd be hard to fly over us without us.
So there. All right, so looking back through American history, in your opinion, who do you think are some of the most influential Midwesterners? Besides, like you said, we invented the plane, so there.
Yeah, I mean, you could take the Wright brothers. I mean, you could go to Henry Ford, you know, if you wanted to stay in Michigan, but even, you know, beyond the Wright brothers, a guy like Stout, you know, the first commercial airline service was between Detroit and Grand Rapids. And so I think through time, the funny thing that I noticed was how easy the book was to write. You know, people will ask what the single most impressive thing about the Midwest that I learned was. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was just the volume of people that we have produced and how some of America's greatest people are Midwesterners, whether it's landing on the moon with Neil Armstrong, winning the Second World War with Eisenhower and Bradley, the First World War with Pershing, humor from Mark Twain all the way to Johnny Carson. Almost every facet of American life, there is a prominent Midwesterner involved.
What do you find as you talk with people from other parts of the country? What are some of the most common misconceptions floating around out there about the Midwest?
I think that the toughest thing for us is that the Midwest is viewed as, you know, the American Gothic pastoral farmland, which as a region, it's really a minority of it. I mean, for me, I grew up in Iowa outside Des Moines, but my parents aren't farmers. I actually had no idea how farming worked because most of the state isn't in agriculture. My dad's an attorney. My mom's actually a mechanical engineer from Michigan. And so that's what I think is hard for people to get, is that they envision the whole area as rural and agricultural. And that's one thing it's hard for the Midwest to view itself as a cohesive region, because even, you know, the Midwest views the Midwest as rural and agricultural.
Yeah, like so it's corn and cows.
Yeah, and it's hard to really get the breadth of, you know, geography from Ohio to the Dakotas, and also the breadth of economy, that it's the Midwest has never been primarily an agricultural economy. There's always been agriculture, but it has produced, you know, industry from the steel plow to then to the car to the airplane. Some of America's biggest cities and industrial might is in the Midwest.
Yeah, there's this place called Chicago, you know?
Yep. You know? I've heard of it.
Yeah, you make the argument in your book, The Midwest, God's Gift to Planet Earth, that if the Midwest was its own country, it would be a superpower?
Yeah, if you just took the Midwest and looked at the population and the GDP and took the America out of it, we'd be the fourth largest economy just behind Germany. And in terms of GDP per person of the biggest economies, we'd be just right behind Japan. So we only have 67 million people, but a $3 trillion economy. And that's another thing that people kind of put by the wayside, is there's this arc of the Midwest through history where, you know, the 1800s through about 1950, it was just, you know, hit after hit for us, from the first two Super Bowls to the car to the airplane. And then there's this view of Midwestern history that it's just been a downhill slide since then of, like, you know, Rust Belt and industrial agriculture, and that we're just waiting for, you know, somebody to extinguish the tire fire on their way out.
Like, trust me, we're familiar with those kinds of stories in Detroit.
And it's interesting to, when you look at just the Fortune 500 in America, the Midwest has, you know, as many companies in the top 10 as the South. And so the South and the Midwest are the tide for the most companies. And that companies like General Motors and Ford are not small, dead companies. They're bigger than every commercial bank in America. They're bigger than Apple. They're bigger than Google. And so these are the kind of things that we tried to point out of how much Midwest has done, but also how much it has currently.
And that's why you say reports of our economic demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Yeah.
You also note that our Midwest superpower would be conservative and liberal.
Yeah, it's the other fascinating thing about the Midwest is that it's easy to pin, you know, the South as Republican and religiously conservative because it has often voted entirely Republican. And it's easy to pin the Northeast as, you know, liberal and kind of voting Democrat because it has several times voted entirely Democratic. The Midwest has only voted entirely for one party in, I think, two elections.
Hmm.
There are so many bizarre examples from Iowa legalizing gay marriage just 4 hours away from the Westboro Baptist Church, who are just like nuts. You know, Minnesota putting an amendment to ban gay marriage, trying to pass it this year in their constitution, but Minneapolis being labeled the gayest city in America by like a gay magazine. So that's what this strange dichotomy in the Midwest of conservative to liberal, you know, back in history of, you know, Wisconsin had some of the most progressive politicians with guys like La Follette. But then nowadays, Kansas and the Dakotas have some of the most conservative people in charge. And it was even a note this year that you had a guy from Chicago running against a guy from Michigan who picked a conservative guy from Wisconsin as his running mate.
Good point.
The Midwest is always going to produce multiple types of people, which makes us kind of hard to pin down.
Speaking of pinning down, you spend a lot of time in your book, Mike, talking about Midwest, typical Midwest stars in movies, TV, and music. Give us some of your favorite examples of Midwest stars.
Well, the thing we like is that the fictional character of the Midwest is what always attracted me first. If you look at these mysterious figures, it's interesting to note that so many of them are from the Midwest. You know, Superman is from Kansas, Magnum P.I. is from Detroit, Jason Bourne is from Missouri, down to Jay Gatsby from North Dakota, Don Draper from Mad Men is from Illinois, even Edward Cullen from Twilight is from Chicago.
Yeah.
And it pops up all the time, and I think part of that is a lot of the creative people from, you know, Hemingway to Fitzgerald were from the Midwest. But also, if you're looking to have just a character that is built-in mystery that could be anything, you, like, pluck him from Nebraska because nobody knows what goes on there. He could be the son of steel mill workers. He could be a farmer. He could be a psychopath.
Because that's such a blank slate.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who just hears Nebraska. But it's funny that, you know, we look at it as there's the two sides of us, of the Superman side and the clinging to guns and religion side, of people view Midwesterners as simple, which on the Superman side makes us, you know, genuine, trustworthy, hardworking, and on the guns and religion side makes us, like, dumb as bricks, that we don't trust anybody with a passport, and we vote for Ronald Reagan whether he's running or not, from dog catcher to president.
You do know trustworthiness is a hallmark of the Midwest. Does that stem back to Honest Abe?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of emboldened the trustworthiness, and you don't know where it comes from. I mean, there is the mix of agriculture, of dependency on the land and dependency on other people. I think a lot stems from the weather. When I grew up in Iowa, people said, oh, the weather's here like nowhere else in the world. Then I moved to Philadelphia and they said, the weather here is like nowhere else in the world.
And we say that in Michigan.
And then I moved to Scotland. They said, the weather here is like nowhere else in the world.
Yeah.
But the Midwest really is, its weather is almost unique from anywhere in the world. We have more in common with Japan than we do with the South, which is you have some of the most extreme temperatures for a livable region and precipitation year-round. And I think having, you know, long winters but then also extremely hot summers is kind of good for people to, you know, it keeps you humble.
Well, I can remember my first ever visit to California, and I was there in October, and it just seemed wrong not to have crunchy leaves and golden light, and everything was white, light, and hot.
Yeah.
It just seemed a little wrong.
Well, and it's funny to think of, you know, we point out in the book that, you know, Michigan, I think it used to be on the license plates, said a winter wonderland.
Yes.
And so there used to be this joke when I would go up there that people would say, well, it's a winter wonderland. What do you do in the summer? And they'd say, well, if it falls on a Sunday, we have a picnic. And a lot of people view the Midwest as a really cold climate, that it's all blizzards and then, you know, hot for 1 month, which really isn't true. The heat is oftentimes worse than the cold.
Yes.
And so you get both sides of it. And, you know, in 1936, North Dakota set the record for largest temperature swing when it hit 120 degrees in the summer and minus 60 in the winter all in 1 year.
Toughens you up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it does something. Or it makes you move to California.
Mike, in your book, The Midwest, God's Gift to Planet Earth, you talk about typical Midwestern food. Talk about that because, hey, the Midwest gave the world fried butter on a stick, didn't we?
Yeah, we've given it lots of things. We kind of point out, you know, we tried to do the book in a realistic sense. And so we talked about things like movies like Food, Inc. and Industrial Agriculture and Type 2 Diabetes and Corn Syrup. And we frame that as one of the ways we're getting back at the rest of the country for mistreating us, is that, you know, they've given us insults about our region, so we've given them Type 2 Diabetes, which hasn't been the best strategy since the Midwest is the heaviest region after the South. So we're losing a couple of our own. But it's when you watch a movie like Food, Inc., you know, he says that all food comes back to a cornfield in Iowa, and that, you know, these companies are these evil corporations controlling everything we eat, and they're not on Wall Street. They're like Pioneer Hybrid in Iowa or Monsanto in St. Louis or DeKalb in Illinois. So the Midwest is pulling the strings.
In your book, you make a pretty good argument for the fact that in your, as you put it, the Midwest really, really, really hearts NPR.
Yeah, we even have a special page on where we talk about our love of NPR. And one of the problems, I mean, if you look at some of the biggest like NPR stars, a lot of them come out of the Midwest, especially like Garrison Keillor. And Garrison Keillor was a guy who tried to take his show to NPR, but then they turned him down. And so, you know, Garrison Keillor was the one who started his own Public Radio International and started distributing his show by himself. And it was interesting that, you know, the president of NPR at the time, who wasn't from the Midwest, his problem with Garrison Keillor's show was that it was too elitist, that it mocked small-town America in the Midwest, which is ironic because that's where Keillor was from.
Right.
He was from a small town in Minnesota. And so, and Keillor went on with Public Radio International to pick out some other stars like Ira Glass, whose show was also turned down at NPR.
Give us your take. You break down all the states in the Midwest, but we'd love to hear your view of Michigan, as you say, where the trees are just the right height.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite quote from the Romney campaign. I just thought, man, this guy must be strange when it comes to complimenting his wife. Like, you know what I like about your toenails? And it was interesting because he said, you know, I love the big lakes and the little lakes, too. And you're like, you don't want to lose the little lake vote.
You want that little lake vote and that tree vote.
Yeah, and it was interesting for me because I was born in Des Moines, but my mom grew up in East Grand Rapids. So she was the oldest of seven. She and her four brothers all went to the University of Michigan for engineering. And so they have a record for the most mechanical engineers from one family at the University of Michigan. And so I knew the University of Michigan fight song by the time I was five. The only Iowa football game we ever watched was when they played Michigan. And I used to spend all my summers up in Leelanau County with my maternal grandparents, have a house in Lake Leelanau. You know, northern Michigan, I haven't spent a lot of time in the UP, but just, you know, right around Traverse City is one of the most, you know, beautiful places in the entire world. I've lived in Scotland, London, New York. I lived in Switzerland and Germany for a while. But, I mean, everything there is perfect. You have huge bodies of fresh water. Having grown up there and sailed and swam in Lake Michigan, the first time I went to the ocean and swam in it when I was 12, I just thought, like, who would do this? You have to take a shower after you get out. I mean, you can drink Lake Michigan. And so it's such an amazing part of the world. And I think Michigan actually is one of those states that has, you know, kind of the most potential, in that the reason why the Midwest was hit a little bit harder than other regions is that we were the most industrialized. And it's not that we're moving from industrial to non-industrial, it's that we're moving from industrial to industrial that requires fewer people. You know, Gary, Indiana makes as much steel as it ever has, but it employs 10% of the workers. So on the one hand, you know, there's an issue to be addressed, but on the other hand, it's not a simple story of the steel industry has died. And same with the car industry. But you know, Detroit is a city that can also lead in terms of how do you retrofit a city that was made for heavy industry, you know, so it can be at the forefront of what a modern city looks like. And for all the talk of, you know, China really only climbs the ladder that America built. You know, they're still just making things for us. Detroit was an innovative city and now still kind of has to be innovative in terms of determining what future cities look like. So I always view it as a state with, like, a lot of potential, but also you have tons of lakes, so you have several legs up on Iowa there.
There you go. You know, I have to say, Mike Draper, for a guy that is a T-shirt guy, you're quite a researcher and quite a writer.
Thanks. My first job was writing for an alternative weekly in Des Moines in high school, and then I studied history at the University of Pennsylvania. So I was supposed to be getting a PhD in history, but my writing style kind of clashed with academia. And so this is my way of circumventing the whole system.
Mike Draper is the author of The Midwest, God's Gift to Planet Earth. It's published by Raygun. You can find it at RaygunSite, SITE.com. It's been a lot of fun talking with you, Mike. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.